good afternoon, and welcome to a Friday edition of A Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Juno. Today we're going to be talking to the horn player of the Dusty 45s. They're playing at UAS and the Alaskan this weekend. Also going to talk to the Juno Christian Center folks here, talking about a massive Easter egg hunt. And Nancy Courtney will be here on Safe Graduations. Champion ice skater Keegan Messing is going to be here to highlight weekend performances. And we'll learn about this weekend's dance performance from Git Hone. That's all coming up with Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, lots more. All right here on Friday's edition of A Juno Afternoon. But first, here's National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Leaders of the Métis Nation met with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Thursday to sign an agreement. The Canada-Métis Accord paves the way for negotiations on a number of issues, including job training, education, housing, and homelessness. The accord also addresses Métis health conditions and identifies a need to strengthen the government-to-government fiscal relationship. It comes after months of negotiations between the Métis National Council and the Canadian government. According to the council, there are about 400,000 Métis Nation citizens in Canada, roughly a quarter of all Aboriginal people in the country. Navajo Nation officials have revamped the tribe's Veterans Administration in the last year in order to expand services and benefits. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports this week four new members of the tribe's Veterans Advisory Council were sworn in.
The veteran advisors will join the 11-member board created last year after the passage of the Navajo Veterans Act. The council helps shape policy related to tribal veteran benefits and reports to Navajo President Russell Begay. The tribe's veterans have historically lacked many basic services, but officials say progress has been made to expand access. The VA has been without a permanent director since last fall, and during the swearing-in ceremony, Begay said he's reviewing applicants. In addition, the president warned that the tribe's government, including the VA, could undergo a nearly 20% funding cut next year unless the Navajo generating station stays open. The coal-fired plant is slated to close in 2019 and provides a significant percentage of the Navajo Nation's annual budget. The tribe is currently working with federal officials in an attempt to extend the plant's lease. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heiches in Flagstaff.
Contestants from across the country are preparing for the 2017 Miss USA competition, which will be held in May. A Tlingit woman is representing Alaska on the national stage. Reporter Emily Russell tells us more.
Alyssa London says, in a way, she was born to be Miss Alaska. My parents named me Alyssa Kalen because they wanted me to have the same initials as the state of Alaska, so my passion for the state runs deep.
London's grandfather is Tlingit elder and Ketchikan native Ernie Boyd. London identifies as Tlingit, but she says that hasn't always been easy with a mixed background and a childhood mostly spent in the Seattle area. Growing up, London says she sometimes questioned her native heritage.
So I'm like, Grandpa, why don't I look like you? And he's like, oh, you're my little freckled Indian. And then he'll take me to like the Pioneer Cafe in Ketchikan and point out like the Irish Aleuts or like the Norwegian Yupiks. And he's like, see, we're all mixed.
London graduated from Stanford University and worked for a while at Microsoft. She moved to Alaska last year, started a business, and began building her brand. She says she competed for Miss Alaska to inspire other girls and women, especially in the business world.
I want to talk about all these things that are so not only important to me, but I think are just, important narratives to get out there about identity, entrepreneurship, having dreams and just going after them, whether it's to be Miss Alaska or a business owner.
Alyssa London is the second Alaska Native and first Tlingit woman to be crowned Miss Alaska. For National Native News, I'm Emily Russell.
Canada's Indigenous rights movement is sharing an award with artist Alicia Keys. Amnesty International announced its 2017 Ambassador of Conscience Award on Thursday. According to Amnesty, the award celebrates individuals and groups who stand up to injustice, use their talents to inspire others, and further the cause of human rights. The award includes leaders and activists in Canada who work on a number of issues for the well-being of Indigenous families. Keys is being honored for using her platform as an artist to inspire and campaign for change. The award ceremony will take place in Montreal in May. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by BNSF Railway Company, supporting science, technology, and engineering careers through a partnership with the American Indian Science and Engineering Society. BNSF STEM scholarships available at aises.org/scholarships. Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at RamonaFarms.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Support comes from Rooney's Roost Bed and Breakfast, located in downtown Wrangell. Rooney's Roost includes a full breakfast with your room, each with a private bath and TV. More information at 907-874-2026 or rooneysroost.com.
Support comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, showcasing a variety of artwork every first Friday at the Downtown Cafe. More information at heritagecoffee.com.
Place that indicates down from the mountains where the gold flows from fountains to another world where dreams lie in the fray. Deep into a desert city, to a land full of pity, with a life from so many wastes away. To a foreign land where streets of sand and the crackled earth where the river ran, he opened up his heart that very day. Fortunate man, it's up to you, fortunate man.
Yes, Fortunate Man, that's a cover song off of the Fortunate Man CD from the Dusty 45s, and Billy Joe from the Dusty 45s is here, or Rusty. That, no, that's not the real name. Billy Joe, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
Dusty 45s, now I'm going to do it. The Dusty 45s are playing tomorrow night at UAS from 7 to 9 out at the Rec Center at UAS, and then playing at the Alaskan as well.
Yep, tomorrow night.
That's going to be that's fun.
Yeah.
You ever been up here?
I haven't been to Juneau. We play in Sitka a fair amount.
You got a drummer who's an Alaskan, is
that's
that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is he from Sitka?
He's out in Sitka, and I'm trying to find out exactly where he's from. He says he can almost see Alaska from where he grew up. So it's somewhere near Wasilla, I believe.
Oh, right, yeah. It's in the Anchorage area then. Yeah. The Anchorage is nice because it's so close to Alaska.
Right.
That's what they say. Well, tell me a little bit about the music and about the band. Dusty 45's obviously got kind of a cool, like, somewhat like rockabilly thing going on.
Yeah. Think roots. Think American roots.
Right.
Oh, here's from the drummer. He was raised in Matanuska.
Yep, Matsu Valley.
Yeah,
that's the
Matsu
Valley. That's
okay.
That's Palmer, Wasilla, that area. Yep.
And he likes to liken the fact that I'm from the Midwest is that I'm kind of like an Alaskan.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, sure.
So,
I can see that.
And I feel that vibe here, and also in Sitka when we play up there. The music, you just heard an original song called Fortunate Man, which was the title track of our last studio release. And so you can probably hear blends of different, roots, blues, and kind of twangy rockabilly. And so those are our kind of hardcore influences. I also play trumpet, so we add touches of New Orleans and, some kind of Tex-Mex.
Yeah, fun. But you don't, it sounds like you don't really allow yourself to get boxed into a corner too much, right?
That's important.
Yeah, right.
But rockabilly is kind of, I think, at the core of how we started out.
Where you came from, yeah. And, that's cool because it's such an upbeat, fun, must be just fun, right?
That's the idea.
Play to a crowd and everyone's into it.
You know,
and dancing
I came
starts
to Seattle in the cusp of the Sub Pop grunge era and everyone was looking at their shoes on stage. And I decided when I started playing, I'd look out at the audience and smile at them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's cool.
Try to keep that as a model.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
We're here with Lindy and Felix, also from UAS. You guys helped book this band in. Who took the lead on that? Did you? You got kind of a family connection to the band a little bit.
Yeah, I got a family connection. So my brother kind of recommended that we try and book you guys. So I was kind of like, oh, I'll pitch it to you guys. And everyone really loved it. So we were just like, let's do it.
Yeah, cool. Is that the story you would tell as well, Felix?
We have a student activities board. We have a board of volunteers, aside from me and Lindy and a few other folks that are staff, student staff. And we have meetings, and we present different performers and things to seek out. And because Alaska Airlines offers the Alaska Airlines Concert Series, it's like, hey, we can fly these folks up. So who do we want to try to reach out to and try to bring up here? And she presented the SD45. Like she said, everyone loved it. And we started reaching out through email.
Yep. Felix got a hold of me, and we just started chatting over the interwebs.
Yeah.
And,
600 and emails later.
And we made it happen. Yeah. We had to change one date that didn't work out.
Right.
And but here we are, and we're going to spend Easter the band on Sunday. We're going to be in town, so if you
that's
see some
cool.
rock and
oh,
dudes
go.
Walking
All right.
around.
So how long has the Dusty 45s been around?
So the band started with myself and a few other guys in 1997.
Oh, wow! So, wow! 20-year anniversary
20-year anniversary.
Amazing.
That's right.
That's a long time
yeah.
playing one
so,
band.
Yeah, so I've kind of always been the songwriter leader, and we have had some kind of changes, but a very consistent rhythm section now, and a great lead guitar player who's almost like a co-front man, Jerry Batista, who's been with me for most of that tenure.
And is it you're able to do this? This is your job?
Yes.
Wow, that's really cool. You've been a working musician doing this band for 20 years.
Yep, I was in Tucson last weekend. So.
That's really amazing,
and,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we tour coast to coast. We have a van and a backline that we keep on the East Coast with a stand-up bass and drums and guitar amps.
So over that 20-year period, so you know, it's a big question, but how has it changed, right? It used to be so much of what you did was trying to get people to get recordings in their hands.
Absolutely.
It's completely flipped. So, you know, what's your perspective on how that's...
Well, you know, you can't turn gigs down. So in the inception of the band, you know, we had to do things we didn't want to do, like some private parties and weddings and stuff like that. And, you know, and people would request songs we didn't want to do, and we didn't. We actually tried to make them like the music that we liked, and we would stick to our genre, and so we'd have to turn down some gigs, but we still kept entertainment as our focus.
Mm-hmm.
So while we wouldn't do a Black Eyed Peas song, we would do Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Louis Prima, things that are important to us as a core.
Yeah, and still upbeat and still fun and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so when people and after 20 years, obviously, when people now want to book you, they know what they're getting. I mean, there's a body of work, and they know exactly what the product is. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the payoff and sticking to it has been that now we have a very familiar fan base who will recommend us.
Yeah,
or
cool.
Once they see us, they want specifically what we do. And they don't want to change us into a band that they think is going to be
right.
You don't want that.
Yeah, you're not a cover band.
No.
Right. It's not your
we'll
thing.
We'll play some covers.
Sure,
but
we might play one here in a little bit, too, from a live album. Tell me about this live album. That's a new one?
It's actually about a year and a half, 2 years old.
It's new?
Yeah.
Where
we're working
it?
On some new tunes. So.
Was it all over, or was it recorded
was
all in one night?
I was recorded at the Triple Door and also at Mississippi Studios in Portland. So Triple Door in Seattle. Great engineer put it together. He was the touring sound man for Nirvana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
great pedigree there.
Craig Montgomery, yes. He was many years with Nirvana.
Yeah.
He recorded it and engineered it and mixed it.
Yeah.
And so this album was recorded. It was just some of our original tunes and a couple of covers. And, it just kind of captures the fun and the live music.
Well,
musicality of the band.
Bringing up Nirvana, I mean, that's sort of, you know, obviously that Seattle pedigree. In the 20 years you've been working in Seattle, how have you seen the music scene change there?
I wish the community was a little stronger. Like, I go down to Austin, Texas, or to Nashville, and all the musicians know each other, and they work together more. But I think that could be also in part because of the genre. People like the kind of music we like, which is more Americana roots.
Right.
Seattle is more of an innovator city, so I think you have music that is more kind of mixed with art, which is a great thing too, but it kind of takes it away from I think the instance where you're more concerned about learning the craft of that instrument, like being a really good guitar player that can play all these different licks, I think you're more concerned about innovating. I think that's what Seattle, the music scene, I think, is champions.
Oh, that's really interesting insight. Yeah, very cool. Well, and so tell me a little bit more about what's happening tomorrow night at UAS.
Yeah, so starting at 6 o'clock, we're going to have some swing dance instruction.
Oh, there you go.
So y'all want to learn how to swing dance before the show.
Very good.
That's going to be a pretty cool opportunity. We got Felix, what's his name?
I don't know what you're talking about. Mark Hobson.
Yeah.
Who he's our go-to person here at US. He was an advisor for the dance club when it was active, so he knows lots of different forms of dance, and he'll be there leading the way. And it's a nice way for the community and the UES community to come together for a fun event.
Definitely, yeah, that's really cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, even if you just kind of learn the basic one-step thing, then you can have a great time listening to music and doing it, yeah.
And it's just an all-ages show?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I encourage people to bring their kids and the family. The band is family-friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome.
The show later on at the Alaskan may be a little more PG-13.
Sure. I mean, that's a bar. That's what you do at a bar. And, that's really cool. And so what's the cost of the...
It's free.
Free.
Absolutely free.
It makes it even better.
Yep.
Wow, amazing. A free concert.
Yeah.
And it's put on and able to be put on because UAS is able to fund it as part of this kind of series that...
Yeah, we're... sponsored by Alaska Airlines, so big shout-out to Alaska Airlines there.
Very cool.
And through student activities, we can bring different acts in so that students have the opportunity to go out and have some fun.
Have you done this committee before, or is this the first year you've been working on it?
This is the first year that I've worked on it. I only moved to Juneau about like a year and a half ago.
Oh, there you go.
So.
Okay. How about you, Felix?
This is my third year with Student Activities Board, yeah.
All right, so you know the score.
Yeah, I mean, we've been able to bring in so many different folks that otherwise we may not ever get up here in Southeast. You know, I mean, this month has been packed, so we have the Dusty 45s closing out the year, but last week we had Dulce Sloan, comedian in town,
right,
who rocked the house, and before that we had Ship Captain Crew over from Illinois, you know.
Yeah.
And they brought their own cool style of music, and that was free, too. And, in the past, we've brought in some really interesting acts that otherwise we might not ever see here.
Yeah. So have you heard about playing at the Alaskan? Have you been hearing?
I've been hearing a little bit. I hear you all, Rowdy.
That's pretty fun.
It's all right.
It's a pretty fun time. Yeah. You're going to have fun there as well.
It sounds like our kind of place.
Yeah. So all happening tomorrow night. So at UAS from 7 to 9, 6 o'clock is when the swing dance lessons are happening. Then 7 to 9, the Dusty 45s with Billy Joel. Joel, I said it.
You
told me you're, to say.
Everyone does it.
You told me that someone on the plane called you Rusty. Yeah. Rusty. And then you said, no, call me Billy Joel. And I did it. All right.
Okay.
Well, it's Billy Joe is here from the Dusty 45s playing then at the Alaskan tomorrow night after playing at UAS from 7 to 9. Thanks, you guys, for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we're going to play one more cut here. This is a live cut off of your album Live and On Fire, the Dusty 45s. This one's a cover of a John Prine tune called The Glory of True Love. Why'd you cover that one?
It's a great tune. We love John Prine. We played with him. We did this cruise, the Cayamo cruise.
Oh, cool.
It's out of Miami. And John Prine, Lyle Lovett, Casey Musgraves, Brandi Carlile, lots of great artists we got to play with.
And, yeah, John Prine came up here a number of years ago and sold out the joint.
He's
man.
Amazing.
I mean, he's great.
Yeah.
So here it is. This is called "Glory of True Love." This is the Dusty 45s. They're playing tomorrow night at UAS at 7 o'clock, and then at the Alaskan Bar. And Billy Joe, thanks so much for coming in,
thanks,
and thanks to you too, Lindy and Felix.
Yeah, thanks.
Precious thing, it don't go on magnolia.
45s, and they're coming, they're in town and going to be playing tomorrow night at UAS. Free concert from 7 to 9, and then you can catch them later at the Alaskan. Coming up next, Nancy Courtney and Carolyn Miner are here to talk about safe graduations. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk about this. What are some of the main things that you try to hit on when you're talking about how to, you know, make sure that everything's really safe and everyone's real safe during graduation?
Well, Juno's been hosting this. It's a community event, and it's been hosted for, 20 plus years at least. Over 350 students, well, about 300 graduates plus about 100 guests come. So that's 400 students that are celebrating graduation in a safe place at Centennial Hall. So it's a great community effort, and we're glad to be here to talk about it today.
It seems like it's become like a real destination, you know?
It's a party.
It's a real party.
It is a party.
It's like a cool place to go, right? Uh-huh. That's what you want to end up having it be. Like, this is where kids want to really spend their graduation, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. DJ and dancing and a cash grab and
poker.
Lots of fun games and activities going on, and the top deal is the $2,017 grand prize drawing at the end of the night. It's at 2:17 a.m. on May 29th.
They must be present to win. That's the thing. So you got to stay till 2:17.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously an alcohol, drug, and smoke-free event.
Right.
I mean, that's
correct.
A big part of the point here. We want people to be safe and healthy during one of the funnest, best nights of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Let's see what we've got here. So tell me a little bit more about this grand prize drawing. This is pretty fun. So $2,017. One person is going to get $2,017?
Actually, this year we got two donations for this. So this year two people will get this.
Really?
Yeah.
Are only graduates qualify for this?
Correct.
Yes. Only graduates are eligible. And we had
Andy, you could come and volunteer.
I could, but I wouldn't be eligible, right?
No. But we've had such great community donations made that it's our donation goal has been reached, and now we're just reaching out for volunteers to help out with this event, which, you know, it's not work. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great opportunity for people to get involved in their community and to make it a great night for our graduates.
What kind of things are you looking forward to help with as far as the event goes?
Well, we need volunteers for all the games, of course. We need set up, clean up people at the door.
Like, so people dealing cards and stuff like that at
the
games?
Well, actually, the Juno Hogs, is that what they're called?
I believe so.
They're going to do the poker room.
They're set up for that. Okay, yeah. Great. But other games, other stuff happening, we need people to volunteer.
We're
going to
have Minute to Win It games, a life-size Hungry Hippo game, sumo wrestling, bungee run, photo booths, temporary tattoos.
Sounds like a blast.
All sorts of fun things.
Over all of Centennial Hall? Yeah. Right.
All of Centennial Hall.
That's really cool.
So we start this event Saturday morning, May 27th. We're going to start at 8 a.m. with setup. And we're rolling two-hour volunteer slots. And for folks that are interested in volunteering, we ask that you please go to our website, which is www.junosafegrad.weebly.com. And the first thing you'll see on the middle of the page is a bright orange button. And click on that button, and it will give you the whole list of all the opportunities where you can volunteer. They'll be set up most of the day on Saturday, and then we'll start with set up again. There's some events. Yakusa's graduation is at Centennial Hall Sunday at 2, so there's some rooms we can't get into until afterwards. So we're asking people that aren't parents of seniors to come in at 4 o'clock and do final setup before the event begins. And
and the actual event itself is May 28th, and it starts
correct,
at 10
Sunday,
o'clock.
May 28th.
Goes right. Till 2:17 a.m. when this drawing happens, which I love that. That's really fun. And it's all happening. You guys take over Centennial Hall and have a big, huge, fun, safe bash for all the graduating seniors. And it's free for all graduating seniors as well, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Very cool.
They can bring a guest age 16 to 20, and it's $10 for their guests to come in. But, yes, right. It's free for all graduates. And we want to encourage all the graduates to attend. They don't want to miss out on this great event.
No, don't want to miss out. Mm-hmm. All right. It's the 2017 Safe Grad Party. It's happening May 28th. It starts at 10 p.m., goes till that grand prize drawing happens at 2:17 a.m., and you've got to be present to win that drawing. So it's an incentive to hang out and stay safe and stay having fun at this really cool party. Games, DJ, food. There's senior gifts for all the seniors, right? Prizes, plus this great drawing of 2 grand prizes.
Right.
What
and
a party.
Again, we need to push that we need more volunteers. So if you're thinking about coming and having fun with Safe Grad, please go to our website and sign up. I'm losing my voice.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
It's easy enough. Just Google Safe Grad, and it'll pop up and hit that orange button, and you can sign up for 2-hour slots or however long you want to stay. And we really need a lot of support, especially at the beginning from 10 to 11, to check all the students in. So that'll be kind of a volunteer intense front door work. And then, of course, we need to have people hang out at the end so they can help with the cleanup.
Yeah, cleanup. Always a
so
cleanup.
So that's always got to get done, and so we can get out of Centennial Hall in a timely fashion. But we really encourage folks to – it's going to be a great time, and to be part of it as a volunteer in this community. I think I know people will step up to do it. We're just right now at the main push to get volunteers.
All right. And the volunteer website, one more time, is?
www.junosafegrad.weebly.com. And like I say, on the front page, there's a bright orange button right in the middle. Click on that button, and it'll get you to where you need to be to sign up to volunteer.
All right, and that's for the 2017 Safe Grad Party. Thanks so much, Nancy and Carolyn. Thanks for coming in and letting
us
know about
it.
All right.
Thanks so much for having us.
The Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 14th of April, 2017. This day in 1935 was known as Black Sunday on the Great Plains. It was one of the largest dust storms in American history, part of the Dust Bowl, which was, as we now look back at it, completely man-made. Wheat prices were high after the First World War, so farmers plowed away all the native grasses they planted from fence row to fence row, more and more wheat. And then when the price of wheat fell during the Depression years, they abandoned these empty fields, which, with no native grasses to hold the soil down, the wind came and blew it away. Hundreds of millions of tons of topsoil displaced in 1935. Alone. It was on this date in 1865 Abraham Lincoln was assassinated at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. He and his wife Mary Todd Lincoln almost did not go to the play. It was a comedy called Our American Cousin. His wife had a headache. The president felt tired, but they decided to go. He took care of some last bits of business, including signing a bill that established the Secret Service, and they went off to the theater in a pleasant mood. He enjoyed the play. John Wilkes Booth entered the box at about 10 o'clock in the evening with a single-shot Derringer. and shot the president in the back of the head. It's the birthday of the journalist Tina Rosenberg, born Brooklyn, 1960, a proponent of what she's called solutions journalism, journalism that doesn't just report bad news, but works to change the world, showing how the problems can be overcome. She writes a New York Times column called Fixes, in which she explores solutions to social crises like health care and poverty. She said, "We know that a steady diet of news about violence and corruption and incompetence does create in people depression, apathy, learned helplessness, stress, all kinds of things, and it's really bad for the news business. We are selling a product that people find painful to consume. I think anyone could tell you that that's not a good business model." And it's the birthday of the graphic novelist Daniel Clowes, born in Chicago, 1961, whose comics draw sympathetic portraits of eccentric and lonely and disenfranchised people. Books like Lloyd Llewellyn, Ghost World, and David Boring. Here's a poem for today by W.S. Merwin, On a Distant Shore. The night before sailing from the world I had known, that now seems the ancient world to me, it was a hot summer night in the humming city, the small hours, the tiny two-room apartment of a friend, the windows wide open above the avenue, and behind me three young women crammed in, asleep, as I stood at the window. And then I turned to the room, and in the light from the street, beheld one beautiful bare breast of a friend's friend, gently rising and falling, as though I were not there, already not there. On a Distant Shore, a poem by W.S. Merwin, from The Moon Before Morning, published by Copper Canyon Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from Travel Juno, presenting the 2017 Travel Fair at the Jack, April 15th from 12 to 4 p.m., featuring local tourism businesses, food trucks, live music, and more. Info at junotravelfair.com.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein, your host for today. And we have skaters here in the studio with us. Pam Leary's here from the ice skating rink over
Juno Skating Club.
Yep. And Lori Balstad is here, who you may have seen in the newspaper just today, right? Really excellent program. You can pull that mic down there, Lori. Yeah, there you go. You can get your own mic. And, oh, that always happens. Just kind of pop it back on there, yeah. And also with us in the studio right now is champion ice skater Keegan Messing.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing, Keegan?
Doing all right.
Sounds like you've been kind of doing a lot of travel.
I have. So, I just got back from Canada on a two-week trip there.
So tell me about that. You were in Montreal to connect the dots there.
I actually started in Toronto. I'm getting a new competitive long program while I was in Toronto. And while I was there, I skated two shows on Saturday, hopped on a jet, flew up to Montreal for another two shows in Montreal, came back, and well, now I'm here barely a week later. So
there's, Tom, we were kind of talking about it before, and I think I kind of didn't quite understand in a way what you were saying, because you were saying that you kind of did these shows, but shows are different than competitions, right? They're shows, and shows are cool and everything, and they're for an audience to appreciate. But competitions is really where you're kind of pushing the limits, right? Is that kind of right?
Yes, at the competition, and especially in the men's division right now, people have been pushing the envelope. This year at the U.S. Men's National Championships, there was a record broken for the amount of quads landed in a competition. There
so that's quadruple spins,
yes.
Right? So four, you jump, and you just, you know, like you do, you just do four spins in the
yes,
air.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like that big a deal.
You know, and
really.
A guy attempted and landed five different quads in competition, which is unheard of.
And is that like in one long
yep, one long program.
Program.
So this year, my new long program, I'm trying to keep up with these young bucks, and I have three different quads in my new long program this year. So I'm
is
really...
There a, well, you mentioned age. Is there sort of a age, you know, considered peak thing, late 20s, early 30s?
Depends on men and women.
Yeah,
guys,
right.
We can peak later where the women peak a little earlier. So we men can skate to late 20s a lot of times, but right now we have like 17 to like 21-year-olds coming in, and they all have multiple quads. And
amazing.
It's just pushing the envelope. I mean, the quadruple jump is such a taxing jump on your body where – for me, for example, I'm in the air for 0.7 seconds, rotating four times around, which is an average rotating speed of 474 RPMs. Now,
that's just weird to even think about that you can.
Now, if you think of
that,
it
yeah.
just from like energy and training a jump like this, you're not going to land every single jump. So you're throwing that much energy into the ice time after time after time
so
to get it perfect.
So to do that, do you know what speed you have to hit on the ice before you take off?
I couldn't give you a number. It's all feeling.
But is it super fast, or are you slowing down right before?
I'm learning that I have to go a little slower into some of these, where I used to like to go as fast as I can, which means a harder fall. So to preserve my
right.
body, I've started slowing down a little.
Right. Amazing. And Lori, you probably have these. Obviously, you have these same things you have to go through. On the women's side of it, where's the frontier in, as far as moves and things like that that's happening right now?
Yeah, so I would say that for women right now, the national level, the triple axel is kind of like the jump to like really aim for. But for me personally, I'm kind of still working on like my doubles and finishing up that. And so I'm kind of on a very different level from Keegan.
Well, that's hey, you can't all be on Keegan's level, right? But it's a cool thing to appreciate, you know. What do you have that? You right now you're working on the goals of kind of perfecting your doubles, and that's where you're at right now. But you have an eye on the triple? Have you attempted the triples? Do you get to that?
I've tried a lot of the triples on like harnesses and whatnot. And like this summer, I was like working on my jumps, and coaches would be like, "You should try like your triple, whatever." And I was like, "Eh, not quite for me yet." So I'm just kind of sticking more to like making all my jumps more consistent and working towards that goal.
It's a mental. I mean, there's a physical element, obviously, but so much of it must be a mental element, right? Of like really.
Yeah, there's a lot of a mental side of skating, just in that doing everything the same when the music's on, when the music's off, when you're tired, when you're high energy, it all just kind of goes everywhere sometimes.
What's happening in your mind when you're in the middle of a quad? I mean, what is there? Can you even?
Well,
are you thinking?
It would. It depends on all like on how that you take off. You know, if you hit it well, you're like, oh, you got this, and you know, you get the energy. But then there's other times when, like, say, if you're in a competition, in order to put just base points on, even if you know you're going to fall, you have to get the revolution just to get base points on the element. So then you just have to stay in and take the fall, and well, there's a few choice words that flash before your mind, because you just know you're going to get beat up on the landing.
Oh, yeah, because that ice is unforgiving.
It
I'm
is
sure.
a little more forgiving than concrete, because you do slide.
Okay.
But where concrete, you just stick.
Yeah.
It's no fun, but yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, it's amazing, obviously. So, Pam, let's talk a little bit about this fun, cool event. The reason why Keegan is here is the Nursery Rhymes to Fairy Tales.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is our spring show and represents the closing of the rink, which will happen on Sunday
after
the bittersweet
show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Every year we gear up, get all excited to do the show, and then the rink closes, and
right.
all the skaters have sad faces because they have to wait till August until the rink opens again,
yeah.
but it's going to be super fun. The story this year is actually Fairy Godmother and Mother Goose. are sitting down reading their respective books, fairy tales and nursery rhymes, and the Treadwell ghosts come and they're playing some pranks on the skaters, and they mess up all the books, and so all the nursery rhymes and fairy tales get all mixed up, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
No, that's cool. That's a really great premise, right? Allows you to do so
lots
many
of
different
twists.
Things, right?
We have, you know, Alice in Wonderland being chased by the big bad wolf, and it's pretty silly. Humpty Dumpty showing up, Hansel and Gretel. And
how many people in total, how many skaters are involved in the production?
This year we have a crazy number of skaters. We have 80 plus skaters.
That was not what I was
predicting.
In our
show. 80.
80.
80.
Of all ages.
Of all ages, from little tots to people, let's just say...
Lifelong skaters.
Yes, lifelong skaters, lifelong skaters. And it's awesome. It's so much fun, and it's this year's theme is really terrific.
Yeah, that's a really fun one. So what are you playing in this? Multiple roles, I'll bet.
Yeah, okay. So this year I'm Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
A princess.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm all
the princesses.
I'm all princesses. And then I'm also Cinderella and Rapunzel from Tangled.
Is that like a demand? I won't do it unless I'm all princesses.
It kind of worked out that way, and it helped that perhaps Lori was one of the co-directors and writers of the script.
Okay.
And so she had her hand in making sure that the princesses' numbers were all
hers. You put the work in, you get to get the rewards.
Right.
Sure, yeah, no
Why
problem
not?
With that. And then Keegan, what's...
I'm just thrown in there.
You're just in there.
Keegan is Keegan.
He's just Keegan.
Keegan.
He comes in.
Yeah, Keegan is Keegan. But he might appear as Rapunzel's interest in one little number.
Now, tell me about the importance of having someone like Keegan come to Juno for other aspiring skaters. What's that like? For other skaters? I'll ask both of you guys that.
Well, let's ask Lori first because he's been here for 6 years. He's been coming. And Lori was 11 or 12 that first time. Did you get his initials on your skates?
No.
No?
It was just a T-shirt for me.
Oh, he got a T-shirt. But a lot of our skaters then actually had Keegan initial.
Cool. Yeah.
He's awesome. So
yeah, it was a really cool process just to see someone at such a high level because – for our club, we're pretty small and we're pretty closed off from the rest of the skating world. And so unless, like, you're watching TV, you don't see anyone really attempting even very many doubles on our ices. And so it's just really amazing to have someone come in who's just trying different things and even, like, not necessarily trying, but doing different things and really pushing the limits in skating and showing us, like, what's out there and kind of bringing it home.
That it can happen on your home ice.
Right, but it's even more amazing in person. Like, you can watch skating on television and go, oh, that's really cool, it looks so easy, blah, 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 right? Because it does look easy on the television. But when you see somebody jumping the way Keegan jumps or spinning, it is amazing to see in person.
Yeah,
so,
just the exertion, the athleticism, all those kinds of things
so
come into it.
So he inspires all of our figure skaters, all of the wannabe figure skaters. And guess what? We have a lot of girls that figure skate, and Keegan is not a girl. So he represents something that our club does not have. We've had some boys figure skate. We have some boys that are in the process right now, and they don't really have a role model like the girl skaters do. They have Lori and other skaters. But having Keegan here to show them what guys can do on the ice, he does some mean tricks.
Yeah. Is that something you see at a lot of the places you visit, that sort of...
Actually, I do. And actually, at this upcoming show, I have a new trick to show everybody of Juno that I haven't yet shown Juno yet. I've done it in the last two shows that I did in Canada. And, I'm doing a backflip upcoming. So if you guys want to see a backflip on ice, you know.
Now, backflips, are they legal in competition?
No, they are illegal.
Not.
They have
right.
actually, yeah, a backflip is illegal in competition.
Is that
but
just because
fun.
Of the danger level?
It's just because
they're
danger.
Cool.
Well, they're really cool, but I actually, the first day I was doing them in Alaska, I broke my nose doing it, and then I got back on the ice the next day, and I went ahead and did the backflip, and I've been doing them ever since.
But you had a helmet that first time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I decided to be smart, but the time before I didn't have a helmet and I smacked my face too. So.
Well, awesome to talk to you guys about all this stuff. This is Nursery Rhymes to Fairy Tales. It's happening tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Fred Royal Arena. There's a matinee at 3 and the evening shows at 7 p.m. It is featuring Keegan Messing. Keegan, thanks for coming in.
Oh, my
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it. And partially created by Lori Ballstad, who's here, and also starring in multiple roles. Lori is in many of them. And guided by the expert hand of Pam Leary from the Juno Skating Club. Thanks to all you guys for coming in and have a great show. And
tickets at the Jack. Oh. Tickets at the Jack through today and at the door tomorrow.
Very good. Tickets at the Jack today, at the door tomorrow. It's Nursery Rhymes to Fairy Tales. Two shows, and then the skating rink closes down.
On
so
Sunday. Come
the
to
last
the open
hurrah.
Skate at 6.
Yes.
On Sunday.
Coming up next, here's Bird Note.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. A golden eagle perches on the arm of a Kazakh horseman in the Altai Mountains of northwestern Mongolia. The horseman and the bird, whose eyesight is perhaps 8 times better than ours, are hunting golden foxes, hares, even wolves. It is said that as the man trains the eagle, so the eagle trains the man. In a tradition going back some 6,000 years, the fierce and powerful bird instructs the man in patience, consistency, and in what living in nature is for an eagle. To quote from the writer Dave Stamboulis, "Eagle hunting requires a blend of force and tenderness, as well as a profound respect for the natural world. The birds are treated with reverence by the Kazakh hunters and are always released into the wild after 10 years or so. Through his need to see the world through the eagle's eye, the hunter enters into the awareness of another creature. With this bond, what a gift the bird gives him. To have sight become piercingly sharp, to know the freedom of soaring flight on those great wings."
And welcome back to a Juno Afternoon, joined now by Nathaniel Habiger. Nathaniel, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
With the Juno Christian Center. And you've got... Are you guys still boiling eggs right now? Is that what's going on?
No,
8,000 Easter eggs?
Yes, they're plastic eggs.
Oh.
I don't think kids would want hard-boiled eggs.
Don't kids want hard-boiled eggs anymore?
No.
These kids today. Oh. I used to love the hard-boiled eggs. In my day, that was a treat.
No, candy and bouncy balls, things like that.
Very cool. So this is all happening at the Juno Christian Center across from Fred Meyer there. Yep. And, tell me all about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's this is new for us. We kind of asked ourselves, if our church ceased to exist, would the community even notice? And so we felt that challenge to do more. And so this is a free community event, and the goal is just to love on people, and especially the kids. So we've got 8,000 eggs spread across our lawn tomorrow, and we'll have coffee for the parents so they can stay alert and awake. And
as alert as the kids once they have the candy. Right.
A bouncy house, and then we'll have some prizes that they can win if they find certain eggs.
What time? It starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow. It's again at the Juno Christian Center, which is which is the church right across from Fred Meyer's there. And Easter egg hunt. So you got multiple bouncy houses or just one big bouncy house?
Just one big bouncy house, but we've got multiple age groups for the Easter egg hunt.
Oh, okay.
That way no youngins get cramped.
I see. Okay, so it's going in stages.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
It's a timed thing? Kids, you've got 15 more. How are you going to do it?
Yeah, we're going to do two separate Easter egg hunts. So we'll do 0 to 4 as one group, 0 to 5, and then we'll do 6 to 12 as another. That way no one gets trampled.
Yeah, right.
But it'll be fun. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be great. And with 8,000 eggs, every kid's going to get some eggs.
That's
no
what
problem.
We hope so.
Yeah.
No tears.
Right. No tears. Everyone gets some eggs. There's some coffee, photo booths. There's an Easter bunny wandering wandering around
the
as well.
The Easter Bunny will be there.
All right. It's all happening tomorrow. Starts at 10 a.m. It's at the Juneau Christian Center, the church right across from Fred Meyers. It's an Easter egg hunt. I mean, we know how that goes. It's an Easter egg hunt. It's going to be a blast. There's 8,000 eggs out there. So friends, neighbors, everyone's invited out to it.
Yes, please.
Have a great time and hunt eggs with the kids. It'll be a great time. Nathaniel, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Okay. Juneau Afternoon, Andy Klein, your host for today. Beautiful day here in Juneau, Alaska, where the weather is calm, beautiful, and sunny, and that's the forecast for the rest of today. Tomorrow, high around 50, and low in the morning, cold, right around 34 degrees, but just partly cloudy skies, and that's the same forecast all the way through to next Wednesday, when there's some potential snow in the forecast for Wednesday. And some mostly cloudy skies happening Thursday. But we got, looks like, a full week ahead of some really beautiful weather coming up. So take advantage of it, folks. The Haynes Fair this year is going to have a band called Deli to Dublin. And I thought maybe we would play a little of one of their tunes for you. So here's Deli to Dublin. This is the featured band for the Haynes Fair coming up this summer.
right here whispering in my ear, are you going, boy, are you going? I'm caught up in the monkey, luckily, you know, India, the lomas, a melody. Well, I've been looking forward to the chilling out all day, but she was in a different suit looking hot as day. I'm coming too, girl.
Ceremony. They're worshiping Gully.
Zomity dum, zomity dum, zomity dum, zomity dum. Soon, Kalima will listen to Bridge from Nowhere.
A weekly show where we talk about living in Alaska.
This Sunday at 8 p.m. on KTOO 104.3.
Soon,
Jones.
Thanks for joining me on this sunny afternoon here in Juneau. Beautiful sunny afternoon. Check out the Dusty 45s. They're playing at UAS tomorrow night, 7 to 9, and then at the Alaskan after that. Other guests today we had were talking about the Safe Graduation. They are still looking for volunteers for the Safe Graduation, so you can contact Safe Graduation Juneau and find out how you can volunteer for that event. The event itself is happening May 27th, 28th, so let them know how you can help, and sign up for that. We've got champion ice skater Keegan Messing in town as part of Nursery Rhymes to Fairy Tales. That's happening tomorrow at Treadwell Arena. Matinee's at 3, and the evening show's at 7. Tickets are still available at jahc.org, and available at the door as well. And the Easter egg hunt is happening tomorrow at Juneau Christian Center. 8,000 eggs around the yard there. Lots of kids getting lots of candy. There you go. Thanks so much for listening in, everyone. Andy Klein here with you. And, hey, check out the new show, Bridge from Nowhere, happening 8 o'clock Sunday night with me and my buddies Jamie Karnick and Lou Logan. Should be a fun time.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel.